Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to the Divine Intervention Podcast. I'm Freya.
And I'm Holly.
And we're here to guide you through spirituality, taboo topics, and everything in between.
We'll dip our toes into some topics and dive deeper into others. Nothing is off the table.
This is a safe space for you, our listeners, to learn, grow, be inspired, and open your heart and mind.
Get ready. Let's take the plunge together.
Welcome back to episode 6 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. Holly, how has your week been?
My week has been a little bit hectic, I'm not gonna lie. I'm very glad it's now the end of it. Oh. I've been moving house, getting organized, putting my things in storage, getting ready to go to Bali. So yeah, it's been pretty full on, but I'm really happy for this next phase.
I can't believe it's almost 2 weeks or only 2 weeks until we actually head off to Bali.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And how's your week been?
Oh, it's been the same. It's been honestly really busy. Lots of things moving, lots of things happening. So we're just glad here today to chat to all of you guys again. And we're going to dive into love languages today, which is very exciting.
Oh yeah, I'm so keen for this episode. I love love languages. It's so beneficial when you kind of know a bit about your own love language. And if you know your partners or your family or your friends, it's super helpful.
Oh, and the interesting thing is, in the preparation of the podcast, me and my partner did a little quiz, and the opposite came out of that than what I expected it to be. So I'm very excited to dive into that further today. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the astrology news and the tarot card of the week.
Yes, let's get into it. So last night, astrologically, we had a full moon in Sagittarius. And so this energy will be lingering in the sky for a few more days. So this week, don't be surprised if you're feeling this energy. The full moon in Sagittarius asks us to let go of anything that is bringing up insecurities, bringing up doubts. Sagittarius is all about optimism. It's about fun. It's about expansion. It's about travel. So identifying kind of what's holding you back in these areas, letting go of the doubts, letting go of those insecurities. Yeah.
Taking a risk and moving into some newer parts of your life, which kind of ties in with the tarot card of this week, which is the Four of Cups. So this is a minor card, so very much the day-to-day or the upcoming weeks that we're currently in. The cups are obviously all about emotions and feelings, and the cups are represented by the water element. As we all know, water needs to move, shouldn't become stagnant, and that is what all this card is about. Maybe you're feeling like you're stuck in a situation. Can be in a relationship, can be in your work, can be in a hobby, can literally be anything. But when you're in this state of the Four of Cups, it almost feels like you can't see a way out. You feel like there's no other options for you out there. You're almost bored with your day-to-day life. And you're sort of accepting of that fact. This is what it is. I guess I'm not supposed to have the life of my dreams or the partner of my dreams. This card is calling you to look around and see that there are plenty of other opportunities out there. And that it's up to you to try and get out of that rut. A good way to do that is to really take some time out and think, what do I really like doing? What do I enjoy? Maybe you have a hobby. Maybe you want to try something new. Use that Sagittarius energy. Release the mindset of being stuck and limiting yourself. Release that and look at all the other options that are out there for you.
And this really resonates with the Sagittarius energy, because it's all about being optimistic and welcoming in the opportunities. And the full moon asks us to release that mindset of pessimistic thinking, and releasing that mindset that there's not enough opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, and if you would look at the tarot cards, you can literally see a lady sitting down, staring at three cups in front of her. She looks bored, uninspired, but behind her, out of the clouds, there is a golden cup being offered to her, which represent the opportunities that are out there that we don't always see or choose to not see.
So basically let go of what is holding you back, let go of what is holding you down so that you can see the cups that are being presented to you.
Definitely. And also take some time out to think about where you want to be going and what you need to do in order to get that creativity back, to feel like things are flowing again. Tap into that feminine energy, which we will talk about on another episode.
Amazing. So that is the week ahead.
The week ahead. So in today's episode, we're going to talk all about love languages, which is such an interesting topic for me, for you, but I believe for everyone out there, because there's so much that we can learn and implement into our relationships once we actually know which love language we have and our partners have and our friends have as well. I believe there are 5 different love languages, which are quality time, acts of service, words of affirmation, physical touch, and
receiving gifts.
Receiving gifts. How could I forget? I love receiving gifts.
Me too.
And giving.
Yeah, same. Same. I love gifts. So the 5 love languages is a concept created by an American author, Gary Chapman, and he wrote a book back in 1992 called The 5 Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. And so this book outlines 5 general ways that romantic partners express and experience love, which he calls love languages. But as we said, this can be applied to all relationships in your life, not just the romantic ones. And the quiz that we'll link you to is on his website. So yeah, just giving credit to him for the concept.
So actually last night I did this quiz that Holly sent me, and it's about finding your love language. I expected mine to be quality time, and it turned out to be the main dominant one of my love languages. My partner did the quiz as well, and his actually came out totally opposite than what I expected. So I'm so keen to dive into that a little bit further today. I do think that even though there are 5 love languages and there's probably a dominant one for everyone, we all carry a little bit of all 5 in us. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it depends on each different person. I think that sometimes one main love language might resonate more, and some people might really value all 5. And if you have a partner that values all 5, then it should be pretty easy to figure out how to show them love, if you know what
yes.
I mean.
Yes, oh, for sure.
So if we... For our listeners that might not really be familiar with like what a love language is the way that you show love to your partner, to your friends, to your family members, and it's about how you need to receive love to feel loved. And so if your partner or your friend, any kind of relationship, if the other side of the partnership knows your love language, then they can show you love in that way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I feel like your love language is mainly how you want to receive love. Whereas, for example, your partner's love language is how maybe sometimes you should try and give love to them. So obviously, if you don't exactly have the same love language, it doesn't mean that your relationship is going to fail or that you're going to have issues.
It doesn't mean you're incompatible by any means.
Exactly. It might be easier naturally to, if you have the same love language, to give that love because you want to receive it the same way. So you automatically are going to give what you want to receive, right? Mm-hmm. But often it's not the case. Like for me, it's not the case. I know that for Holly, it might be.
Yes, I feel I'm quite lucky in that way. My partner and I have the same top love language, so it's quality time. And so naturally we just want to show each other quality time because that's what we want to receive. So we're quite compatible in that way. But yeah, just as you said before, if you have a different top love language than your partner, it doesn't mean that you're incompatible. It just means you have to get to know the way that they want to receive it so that you can help show them.
Yeah, so my top love language is quality time. I truly enjoy spending time with my loved ones to the point where I don't have to do anything specific. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes on the weekend or when we have some time off, we're like, what are we going to do? And there's not much going on. And I'm like, let's just go for a drive. Mm. My partner's love language is not quality time. It is a little bit, but it's not his dominant one. So his response would usually be, okay, so where do you want to go? Whereas for me, it's all about just being together and, you don't have to do anything. That's the way I really like to receive love. It's important to me that we spend time together, that he takes time out of his busy schedule to be with me. That's the way I love to receive love.
So that's the quality time. That's what quality time means to you.
That's what it means to me. And I feel like, yeah, if you would look at the definition of the love language, quality time, it's about spending uninterrupted time together. It can be as simple as sitting on the couch, but you probably don't appreciate when your partner is on their phone all the time.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a big one for me. Like, with quality time, it has to be phone down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no scrolling.
No scrolling, no distractions. Mm. Do you implement like a date night, or does this just happen? Is there a rule? Do you know what I mean? Because it's so easy nowadays to just get onto the phones and, yeah, especially after a busy day at work.
Yeah, I think you need to establish with your partner maybe when you want to have quality time, because if you are just expecting that you might have quality time every night on the couch but you haven't communicated that, then that'll lead to a bit of a communication breakdown. My partner and I definitely say, hey, I need some QT, or I need some quality time.
Cute.
And so we'll be like, yeah, we need a date day, we need a date night, we need a beach walk, we need a coffee date, something like that, where it's just us two, phones are kind of away, and it's just like spending that nice time together. And then throughout the week, if we are watching TV of a nighttime together and it feels like quality time, then that's just a bonus.
Yes.
But I definitely need scheduled quality time.
Scheduled.
Like a bubble, happy bubble. Actually, I think that's what my partner calls it. He calls it happy bubble. Oh. Away from life stresses. That's what quality time means to him.
That's really good.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, my partner is quite different with that. I actually thought that his love language was physical touch. It turned out when he did the quiz yesterday that is like his least dominant love language. So I've been clearly doing something wrong in the way I've been giving him love. But that doesn't matter. So his love language, surprisingly to me, came out as acts of service.
Okay.
And then I was kind of thinking, like, what is that? Is it like the vacuuming, the cleaning, the cooking?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be, yeah.
Is that probably one of the avenues that you can show? Is it doing things for someone? Let's say he needs to get something printed at Office Works that I say, I will go and do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think it's any kind of act of service to them that helps them with their day, that might make their day look a little bit easier. So it could be like, oh, I chucked that load of washing on for you. Or it might be like, I went and got that thing printed at Officeworks for you. Or I went and put fuel in your car for you. Or I washed your car for you. Like, I think I cooked dinner for you. I think any of these kinds of things are part of that love language, because the receiver is like, oh, that person really thought about me. They knew that I would appreciate that. They knew that I was having a really hectic schedule, and coming home to a home-cooked meal makes me feel really loved. That's my opinion of it.
It's so interesting, because hearing you say that and now sort of thinking back or thinking of my relationship really makes me realize that he does a lot of those things, right?
For you?
For me. Mm. He does a lot of those things for me. Like, he will always go out of his way to make my day easier. I always really, truly appreciate that. But now I'm thinking there's also him sort of portraying his love language, the way he wants to receive things.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably do that a little bit more. Like, it was a big load of washing. I didn't do anything of it. And now I feel a little bit guilty. And at the same time, like, in our household, I am the one that does most of the cooking and the grocery shop. And now it makes more sense. I just thought that was the natural dynamic between us. But it turns out that that is a way for him to feel loved and to feel seen. And now I feel like, knowing that, I probably will try and step up a little bit more because that's how he wants to receive love. We will link the quiz that we're talking about now, by the way, on our socials and on Spotify if possible, because this is so interesting to do. It's about 30 questions and you will get a really nice outline of, you have X percentage of this love language, and then sort of gives you a little bit of insight really in your love languages. So his second love language was words of affirmation, which I also think I naturally do a lot. But he is so confident in himself and in us that I didn't really know that he needed that. So I feel that's another part where I can step up more.
Definitely. So what do you, as a language, what as a love language, what do you feel words of affirmation is?
For me personally, it would be hearing phrases like, I love you, I appreciate you, I see all that you're doing for me, I'm here to support you, I care about you, you mean a lot to me, you're so valuable in my life, you're an enrichment to my life. That's probably the things that I want to hear. But I can imagine for some other people, it might be hearing, wow, you look beautiful today.
Definitely.
Or you dressed up so nicely today. So I feel like it can go a lot of different avenues.
Yeah, and for my partner, his words of affirmation is quite high for him, whereas it's at the bottom for me. Mm. But so in terms of words for him, he likes them verbally, but also written.
Oh.
And so for his birthday, he values a handwritten letter or a handwritten card just as much as any other present I give him.
Oh my God, how sweet is this man
yeah.
to want a written letter?
Well, yeah, and so for Valentine's Day this year, I didn't really know what to get him. And because Valentine's Day is also my birthday, it's a little bit like he doesn't want me buying him gifts on my birthday. But I was like, well, okay, let's think about his love languages. He loves words of affirmation. So I bought some like old time writing paper and I bought this calligraphy pen. You should have seen me.
This is so cute.
Trying to figure it out. And I tried to like look up old time language and I wrote him like an old time love letter as his Valentine's gift. And it was really me being like, he will feel so loved receiving this. And yes, he loved it. So words of affirmation, I feel, yeah, can be verbal or written.
How romantic of you, by the way. Can we just say, isn't Holly's like a little love bubble, like born on the 14th of February on Valentine's Day with all these cute watery placements and then she's writing letters and buying calligraphy pens and doing all the things? I love that.
Well, my Venus is in Pisces, so that's one of the most romantic placements. So yes, I definitely love romance.
Well, that's just lovely. Yeah, I feel like it's really cool the way that we can show our partners, but also our friendships, that we love and care about them.
Yeah.
I don't know the love language of a lot of my friends.
It would be a really good exercise to do with your close friends. Definitely.
I feel like there is always an emphasis when we say love language on a relationship, like a partnership. But not really on friendships. But you can definitely value that. Like, if I'm thinking about quality time, right? Like, I'm that type of friend that doesn't need to see all her friends every single week. I do not really need that. I can go months without seeing someone in person. And that will be totally fine for me. But I've had friends, or maybe still have, that do really value that, that do really want to have that consistency in seeing and meeting up. Thinking of that now makes me think, oh, maybe quality time is their love language.
Or like, we've all got that friend, like I'm a very, physical touch is high for me on my, we actually haven't spoken about physical touch yet. Oh. So obviously that's about physical touch. So love, oh, it's like cuddles, hugs, holding hands, intimacy, like all of that. And so when we, if we bring it back to the friendship point of view, I'm a hugger. I hug all my friends. I show my love that way. But we've all got that one friend who's like a bit awkward about hugs, who just maybe prefers not to be touched as much. And maybe physical touch is at the bottom of their list. And so, but maybe something like words of affirmations is higher. So maybe say like, you know, in general, it would make them feel more loved if you wrote them a cute note as opposed to giving them a big hug.
Yes.
So I feel like it would be really beneficial if you can get your friends to do the quiz.
Yeah.
To understand them a bit better.
So you can show up more and give love more appropriate to the person as well. But obviously that is challenging, especially when you have multiple relationships, to know everyone's love language and then think of it. But, you know, as a starting point, let's say a friend's birthday is coming up and you're not sure what to do. This can be a great way, like quality time. You can give them an experience, words of affirmation. You can write a letter like you just said. Then we just have gift giving. Maybe they just love like a gift.
Exactly. So receiving gifts is, I think, the last love language that we haven't fully dove into. And that's obviously, the act of giving a gift or receiving a gift. And in my personal experience, it's not necessarily about the monetary value of the gift.
Okay.
It's more about the feeling is, oh, that person went out of their way today to choose a gift for me and bring it home and give it to me. So it might have been something they saw at the shops, or it might be a flower that they picked on their walk. Either way, it's something that they've given to you. And it makes you feel, oh, they thought of me and they picked up this item and they gave it to me.
Yeah, but then there might also be people, their love language is receiving gifts, that do care about the value of it.
Or definitely.
Do really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe look at it more of a financial thing, like, wow, I can't believe this person spent this much money on me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's definitely people out there that care about that. Like, you know, it's always a thing, for example, at weddings when they put a wishing well there and it's like the question, oh, okay, like how much is appropriate to give?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
That's a hard one, right? That's always a struggle. And they would, there are people I know that look at that and they were like, oh my God, this person gave me so and so much. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize I was that close to them, meaning that they put a value on that financial number, which is totally fine. It's different for everyone.
Definitely different for everyone. And receiving gifts is higher on my list than my partner.
Yeah.
So like his words of affirmation is quite high and my receiving gifts is quite high. Mm-hmm. And mine probably fluctuates. Sometimes if he just brings home a flower that he picked, that's amazing. But sometimes if he actually went out of his way and like chose something online and ordered it and sent it home for me to unwrap, just because, then that means so much as well. Yeah. Especially because it means that he has listened to me be like, oh, I look at this bag, like I really like this bag, or oh, I really actually, 1 year he bought me a beautiful astrology journal and I'd been saying like look at these journals, they're amazing, and so one day it just arrived on my doorstep.
That's
and
so great.
Like yeah, and so when it was my birthday, he knows that I love receiving gifts, so he wrapped up like all these little different gifts, and some of them were higher value monetarily and some were lower value, and it just like it almost didn't matter. It was just, I love the act of unwrapping a gift and knowing that he chose it for me.
Exactly, that he put the time and the effort in.
I
feel like if you don't want to go down the quiz path and you sort of want to figure it out on your own, a good place to start would probably be asking yourself, what is the most meaningful thing that my partner has ever done for me? What would it be for you? Do you have something that pops in mind? Like, good question. Because this will narrow it down to a situation.
Yeah. Yeah, the things that pop up high for me would be synonymous with quality time and receiving gifts. So my partner surprised me last birthday and bought me a pair of R.M. William boots. And they're very expensive for those of you who don't know. And it just made me feel so loved that he wanted to buy me a pair of boots that was going to last me a lifetime effectively and that I would never buy for myself.
Aww.
So that hits the receiving gifts for me. But then the other thing is when he makes time for me in terms of surprise dates or weekends away and he's surprised me and it's just him and me and we just have that time together to, yeah, quality time. So that's probably what stands out most to me. But what about you? What do you think is the most meaningful thing or what hits home the most from your partner?
I feel like for me it definitely would be when he bought me a plane ticket to come to Australia. So this is... must be 3 years ago now. It was the COVID times, or the dreaded COVID times. So with the background on that, I was traveling for about 8 months and then I came here and I met my partner and we were dating and we were both a little bit like, oh shit, like we really like this is it. Obviously not expecting that when you're traveling around, and I never had the intention to move anywhere else. And in that time frame, in February, I went to New Zealand. So this is after I spent 2 months in Australia and I had met him and was dating him. But I already had a ticket to New Zealand with my best friend to go traveling there. And it was an open ticket. So I was going to see when I was going to come back. Then while I was over there, COVID started spreading around and it started hitting the news. And I remember very clearly him messaging me saying, look, like this is not looking good. However, I was in French Joseph, some mountain village in New Zealand on a glacier. And I was like, well, you know, I don't think it's all going to go this crazy. There was nothing going on there. So after talking for a little bit, he did convince me to purchase a ticket to come back. I booked it 3 weeks from that date because I was planning on coming back anyway and figuring out what we were going to do. And then the next day he called me again and he was like, look, you need to come back now because I think they're going to shut the borders and all this sort of stuff. For me, I was like, oh my God, is this actually happening? It's all crazy. And I went into this little, you know, when a lot of things happen around you, you got a little bit like paralyzed state. You're just like, oh, I don't know what
shock.
To do.
Yeah.
You go into shock. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. What he did then for me, literally, This might sound controlling, it's not, because I did really want to go back to him. But he literally sent me a message an hour later. He said, I booked you a flight, you're going to get picked up tomorrow at 5 a.m. at your hotel, wherever you're staying, and I'm flying you back because I don't want to have the risk of you being stuck over there and not being able to come in.
That's actually really romantic.
It's very romantic, right? I don't know, this is 3 years ago. but that is the most romantic thing he's ever done. So it was a big gesture of what love language is that? It's kind of affirmation because he confirmed for me that he really wanted to be with me. And
but it wasn't words of affirmation, I would say.
But it wasn't words of affirmation. It was a gift in the sense that he booked a plane ticket, but it's not a material gift, sort of. It is quality time in a sense.
Well, I think the main one probably would be quality time because he didn't want to be without you.
Exactly.
So it was like, I don't want to risk that being a border stoppage, blockage in between us. So here, it could also be acts of service. I booked this flight for you.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Mm. But yeah, so think
the aim of it was the quality time.
Aim of it was the quality time. Mm. The aim of it was being together, which is exactly my dominant love language. So that's probably why I feel strongly towards that, and that was the most meaningful he's ever done so far, more to come. So if you're curious about any of your partnerships, relationships, think about what was the most meaningful thing that person has ever done to me. Or maybe if you want to figure out their love language, when did I get the biggest response for doing anything? So I really thought, like I said before, my partner was physical touch. But now that I know that it's acts of service, I realize how much he appreciates it. When I've tidied the house, when he comes home to a home-cooked meal, when I help him out with certain things.
Yeah. It's so helpful for your relationship, I find, because you could just be showing love in a certain language, and at the same time thinking you're giving all this love to your partner, but at the same time maybe they're thinking, oh, I'm not really feeling loved. And it's just because you're not communicating in the same language.
Exactly. And it's not always because you're not giving the love, but if you're giving it in a different way than someone is able to receive it, then it won't really come true as much as when you do give it in their love language.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I want to touch on love languages from an astrological point of view. So it's actually quite fitting because this week Venus is entering Leo. And so Venus is the planet of love, beauty, values, relationships, and it's moving into the fiery sign of Leo. So for everyone, this transit basically means that your love life, your romance is going to be spiced up a little bit in terms of it's a bit fiery.
I like it.
And Leo is about big, bold, grand gestures. Leo energy is dramatic. It's like, let's go big or go home, basically. And so this is a time to get out there, show some big gestures to your partner and to the ones that you love. It also means have fun with it. So Leo energy is real inner child, big kid energy.
So for how long is Venus going to be in Leo, approximately?
It's going to be in Leo for about 5 weeks, I believe.
Oh, you know, I'm putting the note down to my partner. Take me on a holiday. Take me on a luxurious weekend away. The other day, I actually grabbed his phone because this is something I saw on TikTok, right? You know how nowadays everything we do is being tracked and you get like ads depending on shown? So I grabbed his phone and I was just like, wedding ring, diamond wedding ring. How to propose to your girlfriend, how to make like a spectacular proposal. I think it's good. And let's use the Leo energy of this upcoming 5 weeks to also not only receive the grand gestures, but give them out as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And continuing on with these chats about Venus. So when we look at love languages astrologically, we mainly look at... When we look at compatibility with partnerships, we look at the moon, which represents your emotional realm. And then we look at Mercury, which is the communication planet. But then we really look at Venus, which is that love and beauty and values. Mars can come into it because that is the planet of how you handle conflict and the planet of sex and aggression. So that definitely comes into it as well. But of a whole, we basically look at Venus being that planet of love. So you might not know what planet what sign your Venus is in. It's quite easy to look up if you just jump onto an online astrology generator and look it up.
Or book a reading with Holly.
Or you can book a reading with me, the Lost Aquarian. So if your Venus, depending on what element your Venus is in, says a lot about how you like to receive love, how you behave in relationships, how you behave in partnerships, and what your values are.
Definitely. And of course, these are the same signs that the traditional zodiac signs are, and you can probably split them up into four elements. Does it have anything to do with it? Like, let's say, can you say with all Venus in Earth signs, can you say something about that group as a collective, like every element, or is it specific per sign?
There's definitely similarities between the elements. So for everyone that has, say, Venus in a water sign, there's going to be similarities. And then you break it down from there into the three different signs.
Yes.
So for example, I know that your Venus is in Scorpio, which is a water sign, and my Venus is in Pisces, which is also a water sign. So on a friendship, partnership level, we're quite compatible on our love, our beauty, and our values. And so overall, if your Venus is in a water sign, it basically means you'll be more attracted to spiritual matters and to quiet, sacred spaces. Things like textual and sensual pleasures are of high value to you, and your home and private space are essential. So this is the prominent kind of vibes for the water signs in Venus.
I definitely resonate with that. I don't feel like I need to be, well, I just said take me on a holiday, but for me, like, I don't always need to go on a fancy date night. I don't always need to go to a restaurant. I don't always need to have the big things. I don't need to be showered with gifts all the time. I really value and can feel really connected to my partner when we're just on the couch, no phones, fairy lights on, candle on, talking about the deeper things of life, which I guess would also be very much the Scorpio in me.
It's definitely the Scorpio, the wanting to talk about the darker things, the deeper things in life.
Yeah.
And wanting to be in your safe little bubble with someone that you can trust. That's very Scorpio. But overall, being tucked away in at home in a cute little ambient setting, that's very water.
Very, very watery of me.
And me as well. I love being in the little bubble with my partner, as I said before. And so Pisces being the water sign, but also being the 12th sign of Zodiac, is not very rooted in the physical. It's not very earthly. And so I want to be... I want to hit the pause button effectively and be in another realm with my partner.
I love that. And I know that my partner, I believe, is also a Pisces Venus. So he is also in that water element in relation to his Venus. Is that probably why we both really like to be in our own space and like to be together?
Definitely.
And in regards to date nights, we're on the same level.
Yeah. Yeah, so the fact that both of your Venuses are in the same element is highly compatible. Highly compatible. So I mean, just the style of the way that you want to spend time together is going to be quite similar. I wouldn't, for our listeners, I wouldn't stress if you find out that your Venus is in a different different element to that of your partner, because you just need to understand how your partner works, and then again, their language and how they like to receive the love, what they value in terms of spending time in the relationship. So it's just about learning what the other...
Yeah, definitely. So obviously the water signs we just spoke about, a little bit retracted, a little bit homebody in your own personal space. What about fire? Is fire just always passionate? Sparks are flying. Just want to go out there?
Pretty much. So if your Venus is in a fire sign, it basically means that you are more impulsive, you're easy to tease, you love to flirt. You'll be attracted to anything that's athletic, so athletics, sports, and travel, anything that's basically using a lot of energy. I find that Venus in fire is also very passionate, and they have this passionate nature and they love a challenge.
Good.
So basically if your Venus is in that fire sign, that's going to sum up that realm for you. And so you would be best suited to someone who has also a Venus in a fire sign, or maybe a fiery moon sign. You'll probably need someone that shares some of that fire. Yeah, I would say.
Is there any truth to, like, this is a little bit going off topic here, but I'm just interested, right? You know how you have these calculators online and you can put like the cute little names in like the love meter and you get the two signs. Is there something like, is there any truth to that compatibility? So for example, fire doesn't really go well with water.
So there is some truth in terms of the energies work differently. And so if you are looking up online the sun signs, basically, that's probably the main generator that you'd be using. So there is definitely some truth to incompatibilities there. That's why we look at the whole chart.
Yes.
We look at the moon, the Mercury, the Venus, all of it. But basically, say you took something like fire and water for an example, it just means that they are different energies. So fire and air are more compatible because they are faster energy. And then water and earth are more compatible because they are slower energy. It doesn't mean that fire and water can't work.
Yeah.
Just means they don't automatically understand each other initially.
So it might require a little bit more work.
Yeah.
All right. So we know that water, Venus signs are a little bit more retracted. They like their own space. Fire are more out there. They want adventure. They want travel. They want risk. They might want to go like bungee jumping on a date and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and they want some fiery passion in the bedroom.
Interesting. What about the air signs? Because I know that they love a good chat.
Definitely. As someone that has a lot of air in my chart overall, I can definitely say that Venus in air will love to talk. And so if you have Venus in air, which I probably should have been saying the sign. So if you have Venus in an air sign, it means it's going to be an Aquarius, Libra or Gemini. It means that you need an intellectual partner who will talk to you, who will have those conversations with you, who will really light your fire with those conversations, basically. So you'll be also attracted to anything to do with reading and writing. So bookstores, libraries, continuing education. And then, yeah, coming back to that conversation, a good conversation is like having sex, basically, to a Venus in air sign.
A good intellectual discussion.
Yes. With someone who can bounce off you.
Yes.
With someone who can go deeper into the conversations and continue the conversations and stimulate each other intellectually, basically.
This speaks to me, even though I don't believe I have any air signs in my chart, but with my Scorpio in the water, I'm like, yeah, let's get deep, let's have that conversation.
Yeah, but overall you won't be willing to have like an in-depth chat with just anyone. Your Scorpio will be very picky with who you have that with.
That's very true. All right, so last but definitely not least, what about the earth signs, like the grounded, materialistic part of the zodiac?
So your Venus in earth signs, that's going to be your Capricorn, your Virgo and your Taurus. So if Venus is in one of these earth signs, it means you are more focused on being grounded within a partnership, and you're more focused on things that keep you safe and stable, like finances. You'll be attracted to high quality. So you want only the best for yourself, basically. That's a bit of Capricorn there. The values that you have in relationship is loyalty, consistency, and you'll really be attracted to someone who has ambition, someone who wants to work hard.
someone who wants to work hard, climb the corporate ladder with you maybe, or whatever career ladder, someone that is going to push you along, show up for you. Very interesting. Yeah. I feel like we should, just to be sure, because not everyone knows the elements and like what sign their zodiac is. Let's just quickly just call them out one by one. So I'm going to challenge myself here. Earth would be Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus.
Yes.
Fire would be Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius.
Yes.
Water, Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer.
Yes.
And then we have Air, Aquarius, Libra.
Yeah.
And one more, hold on. Oh, I'm forgetting one now.
Gemini!
Oh. How could I forget about Gemini?
Well done, Freya. That was amazing. We'll make an astrologer out of you yet.
Oh, I know. I'm just like practicing in the middle of the night. She's just writing down. No, I'm joking.
Actually, that's my partner. My partner's a Gemini.
Oh,
and so he loves to learn. Yes. And so he's always like testing himself with the astrology knowledge that I've shared with him. So he, like a little sponge Gemini he is. He just sucks in the information and then just wants to regurgitate it.
So cute. I love that. And that is, again, one of those qualities of the air signs. That conversation, learning, all of that, which is exactly what he is doing.
Mm.
And that will make you feel very appreciated.
Definitely. And if, just because we've really only spoken about Venus in these element signs, you can still take something from it if your sun sign is in one of these elements, because there is a lot of crossover in the charts. And so you will probably feel certain flavors with these elements crossing through your sun sign as well. So yeah, you don't need to be, you don't need to just zone it straight just onto Venus, in my opinion.
Yes. Look at a little bit of everything.
Okay, so I think that basically wraps up our love languages episode. Again, we just want to reinforce that we are not experts in any field, and we're just generally having a chat today about the love languages and our opinions on them and our experiences. I just wanted to touch on the fact that love comes to us in the form of partners and friends and animals, and I believe that love is divine intervention. I believe that the universe places people, animals, relationships on your path for a reason, and sometimes it is divine intervention, you know, the way that you meet a partner or the way that you meet a friend. So love can definitely come into your life divinely, but then I believe it's up to how much work you're willing to put into the love languages to maintain that love. So it's really beneficial to dive into these languages, dive into your Venus signs, get to know yourself and your own love languages, and get to know your partners and your friends so that you can really help them feel loved.
I totally agree with that. Look, every relationship requires some work and requires involvement and getting to know and growing together. I do really strongly agree on the divine intervention. Love is a beautiful thing. Love shouldn't be overly complicated and hard in relation, in like feeling wise. It shouldn't feel always heavy. And that's the divine intervention part of it. I truly believe that if you meet someone and comes on the right place at the right time, not saying they will always stay forever, because some people serve a purpose for a certain time, but if you listen to your intuition, you will feel that it's right, or when it's not right.
Definitely.
Well, it was so much fun talking about the love languages. Please feel free to send us a message if you want to chat further. Also, we're going to link that quiz for you so you can have a little look into it. But we just love to hear your experiences.
Yeah, please do the quiz and let us know your top love language. So we probably didn't quite summarize it, but both Freya and my number one love language is quality time.
Quality time.
So let us know yours.
Let us know yours. Until our paths align again.
We'll see you at the next dip.